Well, it's certainly good to be here again this evening and to share with you all. And can I just thank you again as a church for your ongoing support, for me and my family in the work that I'm doing. Very much appreciate it. I've often said to people, one of the greatest sources of encouragement is to know that people are prepared to give to somebody like me doing the work that I'm doing. And if I'm ever sort of feeling a bit fed up and, or who am I, what can I do, what am I achieving and stuff like that, I always think, well, people seem to be supporting me. They obviously believe in me. And it's enough to just give me another shove forward and off I go again. The Lord sort of inspires me and, I feel greatly encouraged. But it's people like yourselves that are really, it makes a difference. It's not just about being able to pay the bills and stuff like that. It's just knowing that you care enough about what I'm doing and you're behind me in what I'm doing. And it means an awful lot to me, and it really does lift me up. So, thank you for that. And when I was at the Bristol Evangelist Conference yesterday, just standing up, giving a 10-minute report, I just almost, had to pinch myself to see what the Lord was doing in my life, really, because I never really thought that I would be doing this kind of work. I can see my dad is a great evangelist, and I, stood in awe of him over the years and what he's doing. But me, I just got on with a normal secular job, if you like, and I was very passionate about my faith. But I could see others, I could see their gifts, and the Lord just, just took hold of me. And is very graciously is using me. So I'm very grateful to the Lord tonight for using just ordinary people like me. And if he can use me in this way, he can use anyone, believe me. So be encouraged yourselves that God may, have all sorts of things that he wants you as individuals to do as well. You can't tell him he cannot do something in your life, because if he wants to do it, and you let him, he'll do it. So anyway, that's enough about that. The time will pass on if I'm not careful. We're going to look at Exodus chapter 13 and verse 17. I didn't plan it like this, but it actually kind of there are similarities to what I shared this morning. And maybe it's just this is what the Lord is laying on my heart at the moment. There are things where he just wants us to trust in him, follow him, and that's all right by me. So, Exodus chapter 13, verse 17. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road towards the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt armed for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. After leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. Let me just commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we just thank you again for your word, and we just pray again for your encouragement upon us tonight, Lord God. May there be an expectation of you speaking again to us. We need to hear from you, Lord God, and I pray that you would just stir up our hearts again and speak to us, Lord God. Encourage us and help us to be people who are more like you. in your precious name. Amen. The British novelist Charles Kingsley rightfully said, there are two freedoms. The false, where a man is free to do what he likes, and the true, where a man is free to do what he ought. It's very true, isn't it? There's two freedoms. You're free to do what you like, and there's a freedom to do what you ought. And throughout Israel's history, they've struggled with those freedoms. And to be honest, we do today. You know, we are free to do what we like. We can please ourselves, and we often do. Or we are free to do what we ought to do in God's eyes. He has given us his word. He's told us, you know, quite clearly the life that he wants us to lead, to follow. And that is a life, that is a freedom that he's given us, where we ought to be following him. And for Israel, their Exodus experience taught them their future success lay in a number of places. I'm just going to follow one, and that is their future success lay in following the Lord, in following the Lord. So that's kind of mainly what we're going to be looking at today. I mean, this morning we looked at that the joy and the eternal peace we find of having Jesus in our boat, or we're in his boat. Either way, it's the same thing, you know. And tonight, you know, how we can continue living that wonderful life, a life filled with blessing of his goodness upon us, because we are actually following him. So for Israel, their Exodus experience wasn't the end of it. When they came out of Egypt, that wasn't it. It wasn't like, sort of, as soon as they kind of got sufficiently far away from the Egyptians, God said, right, off you go, you know, just sort of go in that direction and, you know, and just see how you get on. It wasn't the end of that experience. In fact, it was the start of a journey, a start of an amazing journey with the Lord. And it's the same for us, really. You know, we, in an instant, are born into the family of God. But then it's actually a start of a journey. You know, when we become Christians, it's not a case of, that's it, you know. You've done it now, and just off you go. Actually, we're at the beginning of a journey. The well-known saying for what happened with Egypt is that it took one night to get Israel out of Egypt, and then 40 years to get Egypt out of Israel. You know, that kind of life that they had led in captivity, those years of being in slavery and bondage, it took 40 years for God to kind of work in their lives and to kind of change them. And it's the same with us. You know, when we become Christians, that is just the start of a wonderful journey. For myself, I gave my life to the Lord when I was a child. I remember watching the film Thief in the Night, and it frightened the life out of me. It was a film about, you know, what it you know, could be like when Christ returns and he takes all of his children to be with him, and then, you know, there's all these people left behind. Scared me to death. So I gave my life to the Lord many times just to make sure, because I wasn't finding any peace, really. And that really, for me, was the start of the journey. I didn't realize it at the time. I just needed to be saved. I needed to know that I belonged to him. But actually, the exciting stuff was ahead of me. I had no idea what God had in store for me at all. And when I look back over my life, I see this wonderful journey. You know, I'm somebody who's, for whatever reason, is not really full of much confidence. I know it's amazing when you see me, you know, stood up in front of church and going on ships and stuff like that. But that's down to the Lord, because, you know, I'm not full of confidence. I had a terrible time at school. Went to, you know, quite a violent school, really, inner city school, which is quite difficult if you're known as a church kid. And so, you know, it was very troubled time when I was younger, really. And I came out of school with little confidence that I could do anything. And yet, at that time, the Lord really came upon me in a powerful way. And I found somebody who loved me unconditionally. That was it for me. I was sold out for Christ because, you know, even when I messed up, he was there to forgive me, pick me up, embrace me, and set me on my way. And even in all my weaknesses, Christ said, it doesn't matter because it's me who's working through you. You know, that's what I want. I want you to recognize what you can't do and, you know, that you would hold on to me. So really, Christ has made a massive difference in my life. And like I say, it's a journey and I'm still on that journey now. So for those of us who've, you know, have made that commitment to Christ, that is just like the Israelites being led out of Egypt. You're out of Egypt, now what? What's happening now? So Christ didn't, you know, God didn't just lead the Israelites out. He gave them a path to follow. He gave them a path to follow. In verse 17, it says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. And it goes on to say, so God led the people around the desert road towards the Red Sea. So he had a road mapped out for them. Now, for the Israelites, they could see, well, I've been told, because somebody's obviously worked out, Goshen, that's where they came from, to Canaan, actually is about 11-day journey. So when you think about the, you know, the fact they took 40 years, that's quite a detour, isn't it? You know, you can imagine the Israelites having a discussion. You know, where are we going? To Canaan. Well, why are we going that way? You know, I can almost see Canaan. Why are we going around this way? You know, and, you know, it's understandable why there was a bit of moaning. When I think about my life, I can reflect back on certain circumstances. One time sticks in my mind is when I was made redundant from a job that I liked. And in order to get, you know, keep the money coming in, I did lorry driving for 6 months. I had a license anyway, which I never used. So I'm going to do lorry driving for an agency. And for me, it was like those dark ages. It was a dark place in my life. I wouldn't be even able to describe how I felt at that time. I'm a people's person, and I'm on my own in a lorry, a big lorry, getting lost all the time. And, you know, going to places where lorries didn't fit, you know, and all the pressure and the stress. And I remember in the mornings and getting up early, very early, didn't suit me at all. And driving on my way to Avonmouth to where I would pick up the lorry. And I'd have a prayer time with the Lord. And I'd say, Lord, I just pray that you would be with me and you would help me today. And, you know, I wouldn't get lost and, you know, I'd make the deliveries and everything would work out well. You know, be with me, Lord. And then I'd have like an awful day. Terrible day. And I'd come back, driving back home at the end of the day, having another prayer time with the Lord. And I say to the Lord, Lord, what bit of my prayer didn't you understand in the morning? You know, everything went wrong, you know, and, you know, the load fell out the back and stuff like that, you know. What, you know, what are you doing? And, you know, I'd have these long conversations with God. And I cry out to him, and it was a difficult time, a very difficult time for me. But I didn't realize that at that time, the Lord had already had it in plan that one thing was going to lead to another, that was going to lead to another, and that it ultimately would very quickly lead me actually to my involvement with the work on the ships, which ultimately led me into full-time work, Christian work, helping the seafarers. That stems from that time in the lorry when I was saying to God, don't you know what you're doing? You know, this can't be right. And crying out to God that he would richly bless me and that he would give me opportunities to reach other people. I had no idea what the Lord had ahead of me. For the Israelites, they never knew that that road that went from Goshen to Canaan actually was heavily guarded by the Philistines, and that if they had gone along that road, they would have been attacked, and more than likely, there would have been a lot of casualties, a lot of deaths, people taken back into some kind of slavery. They didn't know any of this. And apart from the Lord actually leading them away from that, the journey helped them in that process to actually learn to trust in him and not lean on their own understanding. And we need to remind ourselves, each one of us, that God knows what he's doing. He's not in a hurry because he's not kind of bound to time. He's not in a hurry, and he knows what is best for each and every one of us. It's lovely when it fits in with our plan, isn't it? Then we all praise the Lord. I can see it now, you know. But when things don't work out in a way we think they ought to, that's when that real trust and faith kicks in. You know, and it's not easy, because I've just admitted myself that at times it isn't easy. But hopefully we learn from these experiences. And I certainly learned, some big lessons at that time as I stepped out in faith. And the Lord led me to one day a week on the ships. And I thought, well, we'll see how it goes. And God took me, for a number of years doing that one day a week until he felt we were ready to then go full time. And I remember with my wife when I was mentioned to her the possibility of going full time, she was very worried because she didn't like the thought of eating Weetabix from now on and nothing else, And I said to her, look, I don't know what's ahead of us. I don't know that. I said, but has God ever let us down? Do you remember a little while back when this happened and that happened? How God, met our needs? Yes, she said. And I said, I think we ought to trust him on this one. Hasn't he proven himself time and again? And she said, yeah, you're right. Okay. And I said, please, God, help me in this. And God, has really blessed us. But step by step, God has shown us that he is taking care of the path that we're on. And that's what he wants for all of us. We don't know what's ahead. He does. Because he's able to see what is ahead. And if there are things there that are going to do us no good at all, and he knows how much we can take. That's the kind of mystery of God. There are times I think, I can't take any more. And he knows that I can. So God knows what he's doing. And we need to put our trust in us. So on that pathway that God has mapped out for us, we will find encouragement. And we will find him leading the way. So firstly, God encourages his people. In verse 19, we read that Joseph made his brothers promise that when, and not if, God delivered Israel from Egypt, their descendants would take his coffin to the promised land. So what did that coffin mean to the generations of Jews who lived in those terrible years of bondage in Egypt? Well, they saw that the Lord had cared for Joseph. They saw it. They knew the stories well. And not only did the Lord care for Joseph during some quite difficult trials, but ultimately God had delivered him. And also, they knew that God would care for them as a people, and that he would also ultimately set them free. So as that coffin is going forward in front of the people, they saw it as a great source of encouragement. If God can do this for Joseph, he will do it for us. It's a very visual expression of God's provision, his goodness, his faithfulness. And so even when Joseph was dead and in his coffin, he was still encouraging the people, which I think is lovely. You know, he was still sort of, you know, making a difference in a positive way to the people of Israel. And, you know, just in that alone, it encourages me, because there are times that all of us can feel discouraged, and we lose sight of, you know, what is good, what God is doing in our lives. And we need to look at those around us, or even people maybe in the past that we know about. When I was first thinking about this passage earlier on in the year, in January, it was the anniversary for the death of Jim Elliot. Do you remember him? He was the guy who went with a small group of very young people in their 20s to take the gospel to the Ecuador Indians. Do you remember that? And his wife wrote a book, I think it was called In the Shadow of the Almighty, or Shadow of the Almighty. And I read that donkeys years ago. And it really struck me, that kind of passion and that faithfulness to share the gospel, you know, in very difficult circumstances. I was impressed by this young man. And him and his friends were full of the passion of the Lord. They loved the Lord, and they wanted to tell other people. So, and he felt the Lord tell him to go out to the Ecuador Indians. And they weren't there hardly any time at all. It may have been days. I can't remember now. It wasn't very long. And they were killed. Their bodies were found, dumped in a stream out in the jungle. And, you know, that was the end of it. However, God continued that work. And the story goes on that many of those Ecuador Indians actually came to the Lord. Even one of the Indians that was involved in that particular party who killed those young men. It's still proving a blessing today. And as I was read, it's just a story about one young man and and a group of others who, you know, gave their lives to Christ. It's still blessing people today. And it's good for us to look around, you know, beyond our own selves. We can tend to sometimes just look in. It's all about me in my life, but you look at other people and God's faithfulness. What he is doing with these people. I look at my own father and my mother and what God has done for them over the years. And it's good to do that. It brings encouragement. And even for these Israelites, the body of Joseph was a source of encouragement for them, because they seen what God had accomplished in his life, and they knew that was the same God that they followed, and that he would fulfill his plans and purposes in them as well. So not only does God encourage us through other people, he also goes before his people to lead the way. It says in Scripture, in this passage, a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night led the way. When the cloud moved, the Israelite camp moved. When the cloud waited, the camp waited. So they just followed that cloud. Now, the thing is, we don't have that same visible guidance today. Sometimes I think it'd be dead handy to be able to visibly follow something like that. But what we actually have is something better, because we have the Word of God to guide us. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And in Jeremiah 23:29, is not my word like fire, declares the Lord. So we have the Word of God to guide us each day. And what I particularly like in that is that when it's dark, those difficult times in our lives, the Word shines out even brighter. You know, that pillar of fire at night, well, you can't miss it, can you? You could see it for miles, you know, that's the way to go. And the same for us. Sometimes, that darkness in our lives, you know, we can feel like we're stumbling around a bit. Which way forward, God? And yet, through Scripture, even in those darkest times, his word can shine out brightly to show us the way. So, though there may be an army behind us and an ocean in front of us, sometimes we feel hemmed in. The Lord Almighty is our ever-present help. Verse 22, neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people, in front of God's people. If anything tonight, just remember that God goes before us. Again, you're not like, you know, you're out of Egypt, as it were. You know, you're now, you know, a Christian. Off you go. I'll see you at the other side. You know, it's not like that at all. God, he prepares that pathway for us. He leads us on that pathway. He's always in front of his people. I find that very encouraging. And I hope you do tonight, that you are not alone. I remind you this morning that Christ is in your boat. You know, if your life belongs to him, he's with you. You are not on your own. So even when there's a storm raging, he expects us to trust in him. He is with us. And tonight, as we go on that journey, on life's journey, he goes before us, which means whatever comes our way, he already knows about it, which is quite good, because sometimes we can feel, you know, almost like God saying, oh, I didn't expect that to happen, you know. But no, he knows. He's in front of us, and he leads the way. Now, time is almost gone, so that's good news. We know that I'm going to finish in a minute. While I was just thinking about this, an old hymn came to mind, very old hymns from the Redemption Hymn Books, so which I still remember. And it's a hymn by William Cushing. And the chorus, the well-known chorus, follow, follow, I will follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I will follow on. Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus. Everywhere he leads me, I will follow on. Down in the valley with my Savior, I will go. Where the storms are sweeping and the dark waters flow, with his hand to lead me, I will never, never fear. Danger cannot fright me if my Lord is near. Oh, I like that. And there's other verses as well. Follow, follow. I will follow Jesus. As Christians, it's, you know, Christ doesn't want to be an add-on. He doesn't want to be a patch. Remember that piece of scripture about being a patch on a new garment, about new wine in old wineskin and all that sort of stuff. God doesn't want to be an attachment on our lives. You know, he wants to be our entire life. And if you're going to get the benefits of it, and what the real joy is to know the Lord, you've got to give yourself to him. You know, it just gets frustrating trying to have one foot in the world, if you like, and one foot in the kingdom of God. You know, you can end up doing spiritual splits. It just doesn't work very well at all. But when you commit your life to Christ, when you say, here I am, take all of me. You lead the way and I will follow. I'm going to trust in you. I realize it's a journey and I just, you know, I'm going to follow you through this because you know what's coming. I can't think of a better way to live your life, you know, and in following the Lord Almighty. And my experience is great. It's fantastic. Yes, it is hard at times. And I know some of you here have probably had a lot harder time than I have. But it's an opportunity to reaffirm your trust in him. I'm not making small the difficulties we go through. But we all go through trouble. It's better to walk with Christ. He knows where he's going. He's God Almighty. So he's able to make a difference. He can calm the storms. But also, he knows what it means to be human. He feels the things we feel. He understands. He empathizes with us. He sympathizes with us. I want to be with him. I want to be with somebody who is able to make that kind of difference in my life. And I just want to give you that opportunity again today to reaffirm your trust in him. Allow him to just bless the socks off of you. You know, allow him to just take hold of your life and do something special in your life. Because each one of us, he loves us equally, the same. He don't love me any more than any one of you. You know, and that I find is quite liberating. You know, I've got nothing to try and, you know, I'm not going to get a little bit more love out the Lord. He loves me completely and he loves you completely. He just wants each one of us to live in the good of it today. So I'm not going to say any more. Hopefully you've been encouraged today and may the Lord richly bless you. And maybe this week that you even throughout this week, you would begin to see God's hand again working in your life and to see some new and fresh encouragement.